Who's the best show here?
Best show!
Who's the best show here?
Best show!
Pretty good. That's the best one.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Nothing wrong with getting those.
Just swinging in the breeze.
I like sweet meat. It's a juxtaposition in my mouth. I like.
When you were making it for young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the stone men, go direct to DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cattle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1132 of the Links Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel. He's there, trust me. And Joe.
Yep.
Good evening, sorry.
Yeah. So, I apologize for the past 2 weeks. First week, I couldn't make it because Paige was sick. We had to help her out. But she's doing a lot better. She's doing good. And everything's okay there. And then last week was kind of a fiasco. My network was atrocious. And noticed that my upload speed was down under 1 megabyte.
It was bad.
It was terrible. So I had to reset the router, and then I tried resetting the switch, and it would be fine for like a minute or two, and then it would just go back down. Now, by fine, I mean I would get like 12 and 20 megabits, and then it would just crater back down. So I contacted Cox support, and
he always likes getting a hold of the Cox.
Yeah, so I went online, and I thought maybe I could do like the chat there, but that was just going in circles. Their indicator said my modem was connectable, the cable modem I have that was connected to it, so that looked good, and there was no outage in my area. So when I called their support, the woman said there was no outage in my area. I also noticed that by my area on the website, they're still showing my old address, which is about a mile and a half, straight line, about a mile and a half away, maybe 2 miles, if it was a straight line across the water. But, and then they tried to connect to my modem and was unable to do so. So their website was telling me my modem was fine. Their support could not connect to the modem and see that it was online. So they were like, we're going to have to send somebody out. And I said, is it possible that there is some kind of outage in the area? Because I've had similar things happen before where I call in and, you know, they say, oh, everything seems fine. And then 15 minutes after I get off the call, there's an outage in the area. And she's like, no, this is definitely something going on there. We have to have somebody come out. So the guy came out the next day, nice guy. And he's like, I think I know what the problem is. So he goes immediately to the box out back, opens it up, and he's like, yeah, these cables are kind of old, and the connectors are old, so I'm going to replace them. And he pulled out the connector in between them. I don't know what the connector's called. But it's got, since it's coax, it's got like two female connections on
probably
it.
Probably an F connector.
Maybe that's what it is, an F connector. And he took it off and he was shaking it, and it was like, there was something like loose inside. You can see there's something jiggling inside. And he's like, yeah, that's probably it. He put in a new ground on it and everything, got it all back up, and it came back up. So at first I was getting like 20 to 30 megabytes down, and I was like, okay, you know, that seems fine. Like, and so I wasn't having, I wasn't having a problem with, and that's the thing that threw the Cox support, is like, they're like, how can you have any internet, if we can't connect to your modem, I'm like, I have no problem with download. Like, people are watching videos. It's just the upload that's the problem. And I was using upload particularly for the show. And I said, I'm upload heavily over here. So he left, and everything seemed fine. And again, I wasn't using much upload. It was primarily download that I've been using, especially for work too. I think it was that night. It was either that night or Saturday night. Lillian was like, the internet's not working. And I'm like, well, that's weird. It was just working a few minutes ago. And I go on, and it's true. Like, the modem won't connect. I reset the modem. It didn't connect. And I go online to Cox's site, and they say there's an outage in your area. And it was going to be fixed by, I think, 9:45. And it was like 8:30, whatever. And they had it fixed before that and everything. And ever since then, my upload speed has been between like 70 and 100 megabits per second. So I truly believe that the problem wasn't on my end. There was some issue in their network. Because, oh yeah, that's another thing. On the weekend, I went to check. I think it was Friday. No, it was Saturday. It was definitely Saturday. I went to check the upload speed, and it was back down under 2 megabits. And I'm like, this problem is still going on. And I'm going to have to call them and have them come back out. But then when they have the outage, and ever since then, it's been fine. So I was kind of skeptical that him just replacing the cables out there solved the problem. It quite possible, but I was pretty convinced that they had some kind of problem on their end, in their network somewhere. And most people wouldn't notice or report it because the majority of people,
they're not running a server and trying to do uploads.
Yeah, they're not. The upload wasn't, I mean, download didn't seem to be a problem. It was primarily upload that was the problem. But you know, that's the way it goes. You know, I'm thankful that it didn't interrupt my, image or asset deletion that's been going on again since the first, actually it's been going on since like the middle of last year. Still going strong with some gaps in there where I didn't have anything I had to do. But apparently I'm getting word that there's still a million plus assets out there that have to be deleted that are not tagged properly. So I have my work cut out for me for the next couple of weeks. It's kind of the way it is. But other than that, I mean, I gotta get the TLLTS.org website back in gear.
Yeah, I know it's right now. I think it's redirecting to,
It goes right to my server.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
And I just need to get the site back up.
What I'm trying to remember what I'm using for, IRC. Oh, that's right, I'm using Conversation.
What is this one? What was the one that, Halloy?
I don't remember.
That was, Murph recommended Halloy.
Yeah.
I've been using that. But Joel, you were gonna bring up last week about the router situation, and I'll tell you what, I was getting a little worried about that because,
yeah,
I was concerned that with the problem I was having was with my, switch over here.
Mm-hmm.
And the switch. So what is?
Yeah. So basically, what's going on? And we talked a little bit about this on my show. That with the other guys I do a show with Sundays called the I Tech Gear Weekly. So basically, if it's already being sold here, it is allowed. Okay. But new models that are not made in the United States will not be certified by the FCC. Let me see. Wi-Fi router. So, and from my understanding, is TP-Link and others are going, cause here's the problem, there are no routers made in the United States. None at all.
Yeah, it's been a long time since.
I mean, that's the thing. So, and from my understanding too, like current routers, like your current router should be fine. Anything you can go pick up at the store tomorrow would be fine. But they're only going to be permitting software updates to the foreign made routers until March 2027. So
all this means is you order the crap from China directly, and then you put your own OpenWRT.
Well, yeah, that is a choice, and there's actually a YouTube channel that talked about that. The only downside is a lot of the homebrew routers may not have like the mesh technology like the Asus ones have in them or
OpenWRT.
Like
you do have to roll your own mesh style.
Okay.
But it's not difficult. All you're doing is renaming the broadcast ID to the same broadcast ID as the other one. And then you have to link one of your antennas to the main antenna. You just build your own mesh.
Yeah, well, the only thing is, and that might be fine for you, even for me, but like, for the rest of the world, that ain't gonna work at all. I mean, you know.
God forbid the rest of the world has to sit down and learn something.
Yeah, well, you know.
I guess those people are buying American.
Yeah, well, I actually don't mind. I like the idea of buying American, but I'm also
buying American.
Yeah,
I'm
a
pragmatist,
though.
Forced.
Right. That's the thing is, I'm a pragmatist. I know how difficult that's going to be.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, especially when you can get really good quality stuff where parts are made in China.
Right. Yeah, and it's not the parts so much as the software that's the issue.
Yeah, but aren't they relegating it by parts?
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, there's just a whole huge, and it doesn't really matter. It's not really a party issue here, because honestly, you know, all the parties, none of them know technology the correct way. All right, they're all clueless with regards to how technology works.
Well, they could be hiding something in a driver somewhere. You don't know.
I know. I mean, that's the thing, you know, and it's...
Believe me, we have some very, very smart people that spend all of their time reverse engineering every single part and every single thing that they get.
That's true.
And they will tell you. You can go in and look up on YouTube right now and find malicious code on whatever device you want to pick.
Yep. Yep. It is what it is, you know, and it's really very similar to how they're doing the ban with DJI. Here's the other thing, the other crazy thing here too with that particular ban is I went into Best Buy the other day. And there were some drones in there. I guarantee you they were probably made in the same country as the DJI ones because they actually looked pretty damn good. I'm trying to remember what brand they were. I definitely consider buying one. So I think I'm – like my birthday is this weekend and I'm not getting any tech for it, I think. But – not even a Ninja Creamy, although I might try and talk to Life and let me get it when I go to Sam's Club this week.
Keep an eye on Facebook Marketplace for the Ninja Creamy, because I see a lot of people offloading them, hardly used. They just don't have the time to put the recipes together or whatever. They don't want to wait the 24 hours for it to freeze.
Now, this is interesting.
And you can pick them up for like $50.
I went into Best Buy site and typed DJI drone, and they actually have some in stock, believe it or not. Probably only on the website. They had nothing in the store. The only thing I saw in the store they had was...
Well, the router update the ban and the ban in general has been pushed back until next year, March.
Right.
So, I am looking for a new router. I have my eye on a GL iNet router that does have Wi-Fi 7, but it's also got 5 2.5G ports.
Hold on a second. Why are we echoing back? Is that?
That's Joel.
Joel, mute.
I'm not hearing no echo on my side.
Of course you're not. Yeah, because it's coming from, we hear it coming back from you. We hear us.
I mean, I hear it coming on Joe's side a little bit.
It's not, believe me.
I mean, I don't know how it's coming through me because I'm using the same headset I always use, so.
And it always echoes. You just usually hot mute.
Yeah. Let me just try muting on the.
Okay, so now he's muted, and guess what?
There's no echo.
I'm being as loud as
push
I can.
Push button.
It's you, Joel. I mean, it's you, Joe, son of a bitch. That's what you're doing. You're framing Joel.
No, it's Joel. Hold on. Mute again, Joel. Can you hear an echo from me?
No, and I can't hear an echo from me either.
So it's Joel.
All right, sorry. Carry on, Joe.
Anyway, let me wonder if I turn down the volume a little bit. Or, actually, let me see if there's a setting in here that can...
So, a coworker, who also happens to be a friend, was getting rid of some computer parts. Like, did not want them and just gave them to me. So he gave me this, Corsair power supply, 800 and RM850, which I believe is about 80 gold, 80 plus gold. And then a case, and then a B450M, which is an AM4, which I needed a backup of that. A Noctua 120 millimeter fan. And then, what is it? 4 sets of DDR4 16 gigs. So, all 8 gig sticks. Oh, another 600 watt power supply. That one's not modular, but the Corsair is modular. Wi-Fi 6E card for a laptop, and then an adapter to PCIe for Wi-Fi cards for laptops, and then a Wacom writing pad or drawing pad. Never used one of these before.
You've never used one of those? Oh, yeah, I've set them up. I haven't used them to some great lengths. Paige did. Paige uses it a lot.
Well, I don't do a whole lot of drawing anyway, but I want to see if it works on Linux, and then...
Oh, it should. What is it? How old is it?
I'm not sure how old it is. It looks pretty new. It's the CTL 4100, I think.
They're usually pretty well supported under Linux.
And if it does work, I mean, I might just give it to my daughter that is an artist that I know hasn't done any art in a while because life gets in the way and supplies are expensive. And see how she likes digital art. And I like my kids, so.
That's cool. Yeah, it works. They work really well. And I know Paige used it with Inkscape and what's the KDE one? Krita? Is that it? I think she's with Inkscape and Krita. So, definitely.
And it's Bluetooth.
Oh, it's a Bluetooth?
That's what it says.
You know what? Now, the only ones I've ever used were like USB. I didn't know they were making Bluetooth tablets. That makes sense, though.
It shows, maybe it's just the pen that's Bluetooth. I don't know. Okay, it says to hook the cable to the computer. Oh. It is Bluetooth. It is Bluetooth. But the battery is very, very dead, so.
Can it do USB also, or will it only do Bluetooth?
It says it can do USB as well, so I might try that here in a second.
There we go. If it's Bluetooth, I mean USB, that should connect pretty well too.
But I don't have any of the applications installed that make use of it.
But it should still work kind of like a mouse.
Oh, it works like a mouse, yeah.
Yeah, it okay. does. It's a pain in the ass, though.
Yeah, it doesn't work well as a mouse, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, you don't know how to
hover
work it right
over it.
Are you getting an echo
it?
Right now?
No, I'm not hearing an echo right
it,
now.
Then. Good.
Good.
And then when you touch, then that is left click, and you can highlight things with that. So you got to hover close. You got to hover right on top of it.
I found the couple of times I've used a tablet, it's almost a completely different animal than using like a mouse or whatever.
Oh yeah.
It's not intuitive, that's for sure. It absolutely takes getting used to.
And then I don't know what scroll is.
Paige used to use it like a mouse all the time because she learned how to use it, and not me, because
I had the bamboo one. I think the one Paige had, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where it's at now. I thought I made it through the move, but maybe I might have got rid of it because it's like, I don't use it.
No. Yeah, I'm definitely not going to use this, but.
Yeah.
Is yours a bamboo, Joe? Is it a bamboo's by Wacom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this says Wacom. Intuos.
Oh,
Wacom,
that's
Intuos.
The higher end one. That's a really good one, yeah.
Mm.
Look at that, Joe. You're making out there.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's a lot of good stuff. Yep. Well, free, okay. My favorite price.
But what else did you get in that hole?
Well, the two power supplies, the case, the B450M motherboard, which matches my other motherboard that I thought was dead but isn't. The Noctua fan, the Wi-Fi laptop PCI adapter, and the Wi-Fi 6E adapter for a laptop.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Oh, and the SATA controller that I was using in my mini PC on the mini rack went out again. So I switched away from those M.2 to SATA adapters for now. I'm pretty sure that the issue was overheating, and I'll be able to handle that next time. But I did get an M.2 to PCIe X4 adapter and an extender.
Nice.
And then I had on hand a 5-port SATA PCIe X4 card. So I got that hooked up, and I'm running my hard drives off of that. And it seems pretty good, but I did try to split one of my 8-terabyte drives into two, and that worked. And then I passed the directory to OMV, but honestly, the speeds for that one are garbage. Like, everything else is, like, running at 150, 180. Mbps, but that one is running at like 20 or 30.
Hmm.
So I will be undoing that work.
Well, I've been playing with some Raspberry Pi stuff.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, I had that MMDVM device I bought on eBay a while back, and that one is essentially a, it's got a Pi Zero W light board in it, right? But it's not the Pi Zero W, it's like a rock chip based thing, I think. But anywho, it looks like it's built into a battery bank. Well, the problem is the battery that was in it decided it was going to get poofy. Right. In fact, I still got to dispose of it. So I decided, well, let me see what I can get to replace it. So I went with this board I got on Amazon from, I'm trying to think who makes it. I can look at my order. The only kind of difference is the old one, this thing I got off eBay, it was a full duplex device versus a simplex device. So what that means is the old one would work on two different, it would receive on one frequency and transmit on the different frequency. Okay. So I had to reprogram all my radios so that it only went on the one frequency.
Did you tell me to worry about?
I got it from Guzizu, and it's the MMDVM hotspot board version 1.5.2. And it does all the things that my thing I got on eBay does. It just doesn't in simplex. And it's essentially a radio board hat that plugs into a Raspberry Pi Zero W. 20W actually is what I have. Only thing is, now I had one here already, but I would have had to solder the, GPIO pins on it. And I still might do that to the one I have, because I actually have more than one of these boards. So that way I can set one up on one frequency and set up another one as a backup on another frequency, or maybe one in the car and one here, whatever. Okay. But it was easy to assemble. The one I ordered actually has a case, like a metal case that it goes into. And the nice thing is it's powered on, just straight off the, Raspberry Pi Zero W's, micro USB port. So, if the battery that I have plugged into it gets poofy, no problem. Just buy a new battery bank and I'm good to go. So, but in order to run it, instead of using OSTAR, which is what that eBay device used, I'm using PyStar, which is another Linux-based, distro. It's all designed to work with, all the different amateur radio modes, DSTAR, DMR, NXDN, P25, YSF, which is the, Yaesu System Fusion, and, that is weird. They're not lit up on the, as being enabled on the, on my display. I'm logged into the web display right now. So, oh, for some reason it's not enabled. Let's enable it. Yaesu System Fusion should have been enabled, but it wasn't. So I'll enable it again. But it works really nice. I have it set up so that it automatically hops on my, my Wi-Fi, SSID. And I have the, SSID of my car, cause I have the, 4G stuff built into my car. So I have it set up, on the same ID. So I can literally, it takes a minute or two, till it connects in the car, but it does connect and I can talk on the radio pretty much anywhere I want to go. So, but, oh, I see what's going on. I got YSF to DMR enabled, and I don't care about that. I want, let's go ahead and change that. Don't want it to work on, you know, Yaesu System Fusion, but yep, it works pretty well. It also lets me connect to, the DSTAR side, lets me use an, what's called IRC DDB, which basically is a way I can connect via my phone to control what reflector D star is connected to works pretty well. That is so much nicer. So why is this? Okay. I'll have to figure out why YSF not working. Oh, I see what it is. Why is that not working? I'll have to apply change issues here. Apparently I didn't know what I was doing, so. Yeah, cause this does several things that my other one doesn't do. Namely, it can route a Yaesu System Fusion to DMR and DMR to Yaesu System Fusion. I don't really care about that too much. I'll just turn that part off and turn on just straight up YSF because I already have a YSF radio. So, but it all works pretty well. And the only thing I wish it did is, if you load Raspberry Pi OS, you can use PiConnect. And PiConnect will let you, over the web, you can actually connect to remote desktop right over the web. And that actually works pretty well. I was using it with the Raspberry Pi 0W for a little bit, just running straight up Raspberry Pi OS. So if you use a Raspberry Pi, try that. Raspberry Pi Connect works pretty well. It all goes through a browser. So. So that's one thing I've been playing with in the last couple weeks. The other is Catchy OS. I think I briefly brought it up on our interrupted shows. But Catchy OS is based on...
How's that spelled?
It's C-A-C-H-Y OS. It's based on... Arch. It's an Arch-based distro, and you can choose the default desktop is KDE, whatever the what do they call it? KDE Photon or whatever it is. I'm trying to remember the name of the KDE desktop now. But you can choose other desktops, including Hyperland. I chose Cosmic Desktop, which is I believe Cosmic the one that Pop OS uses, I think. It's either Pop OS or who uses a Cosmic Desktop, I'm trying to remember. Or System 76. It was System 76 that does that. I think. Let me double check. But I like it. It's System 76. The 76 is the one behind Cosmic Desktop. It's very similar to a Mac OS, kind of, sort of. It's got a dock in the middle. In the middle.
In the middle on the bottom.
So.
Well, I'm sure that's move. You can move it anywhere, couldn't you?
Just you probably can. You probably can. I don't move it. I'm fine with the default. I love some of the wallpapers here, but the other thing that's kind of cool about Catchy OS is just in their own little. Do they call it an app store? Let me see. Yeah, not LeMine. Shoot, I'm trying to remember what they call it. Is it? Well, it's easy to install Steam. Basically, there's a repo and you can install Steam out there pretty easy. And I did. Let me see if this works. I'll try it. With Steam, I installed some of my games that installed right away, and let's see if it works. One of the games that I have in my repo in Steam is Stealth Fight, the F-19 Stealth Fighter from back in the day.
Are you running that right now?
Trying to.
On Cache?
Yeah.
So this would just be you just installed the Steam desktop and now you're pulling that down.
Yep.
And you're running. It's not the machine you're running Mumble on, is it?
It is, unfortunately, but let's see, open Steam. It's already open. Doesn't look like it's launching.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's still there. I'm sorry.
Cache failed.
Actually, I think it might still be downloading them.
Oh.
So. I know I hit the install on them a while ago. Maybe I never waited. Yeah, that's what it is. It's just not installed yet. Cause I got K-19 or F-19 Starfighter, Dirt Showdown, DEFCON, Dirt Complete Edition, Portal 2. Yeah, Portal 2 is on there too. I gotta see Portal 2 will run on it too. Portal, I mean, granted, Portal 2 and even F-19 Starfighter is a very old game. That was originally a DOS game.
That should run just fine given the fact that it's what? Over a decade old now, right? Portal?
Oh, it's probably 20 years old at least.
Is that how old Portal? I don't remember when Portal came out.
No, F-19. F-19 is 20 years old. Let's see.
What's older, F-19 or the promise of Halo? Did Halo 3 come out? Not Halo 3, Half-Life 3?
I don't remember.
No, God. Heck, we're not even getting GTA 6 until November.
And yes, F-19 ran on it just fine.
You know, I have to admit, Joe, I never played GTA 4
any of them?
Or 5.
All I really played that I enjoyed, well, I played the arcade version, which was 1, and I played a little bit of 2. I played the crap out of Vice City, and that's about it.
I might be able to run Kerbal Space Program on here too. That's a newer game than Portal 2 even. But they all show up in my library as, let me click on like the dirt ones. Yeah, dirt 3 should install, the install button's lit up. Now it's not saying how well it's gonna run on that laptop that's about 10 years old.
You know what? I think I might actually have GTA and I never played it, Joe.
Yeah.
Which one? Do I have it?
Vice City's awesome. And GTA 6 is going to be back in Vice City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Catchy also happens to be the number one distro on DistroWatch at the moment, too.
Oh, I have Grand Theft Auto 5. I never played it, though.
I love it. We buy games and we never play them.
Yeah, well, several of those. Sometimes, you know, the Humble Bundles or whatever.
Well, no, I see. I have PlayStation Plus and then, like the Premium Edition, and every month you get, like, 3 free games at least, and then they have a bunch of other games that, just so long as you have the PlayStation Plus subscription, if you grab them, you'll have them. So that was one of the games, GTA 5, I grabbed it. I just haven't played it yet.
Oh, and Amazon, you can get free games from Amazon through Luna, and they're yours to keep.
Can I do EA games on here, too?
And EA games.
EA games, I have, SimCity and a few other games.
You have to jump through some hoops, I think, for EA games.
Yeah, because right now MacBook Air, which is now a year old, will not run any games.
Yeah, I still don't have anything that will effectively play Borderlands 4, so I don't have that game yet.
Yeah, because I have the entire on EA games. I have the entire Wing Commander series, which is a great game series. I do have a Logitech gamepad that would work great with those games too. But maybe at some point I should probably buy a battery for this laptop I'm using tonight, because right now if I accidentally knock the power cord out, I'm done.
Hmm.
It's been a long week, I'm telling you what.
I hear you.
It's Wednesday already.
Yeah, it's only Wednesday.
And I have to work from 11 to 8 tomorrow.
Grand Theft Auto 5, the enhanced version, is $15 on Steam right now.
Hmm.
11 to 8, Joel.
Yeah.
You better get your workout out done in the morning, huh?
That's the plan. That's the plan.
They need to hire some more people.
I don't disagree.
Or have some of those contractors.
At least I'm no longer on call every single weekend.
Oh, that's good.
And this is my third weekend in a row that I wasn't on call for the whole... I mean, I am on call this week because I'm back in the normal rotation. And it sucked because... You know, for whatever reason, this SaaS client is flaring up. So that's something. They're supposed to upsize them tonight, I think. So that'll probably help them. I know Dan and I were talking about it in the pre-show, but Joe, did you get a chance to watch the Artemis 2 launch?
I did not.
Ah, it was awesome. Completely successful so far.
Has anybody gone out to watch Project Hail Mary yet?
I saw it on Sunday.
Not yet, but I've heard really, really good things about it.
Yeah, same here. I've heard good things about it. I have not gone to see it. What did you think about it?
I very much enjoyed it. My wife loved it. I loved it. Our Lillian loved it.
And you've read the book, right?
I did read the book. My wife read the book, too. And I will just say it's very faithful to the book. I thought they did it. My only complaint, and it's not really that much of a complaint, is that what I think gets lost between the book and the movie is the concept of time.
Time dilation.
Because it seems like in the book, it seems like it takes a lot longer and things move a little more slowly. And in the movie, it happens pretty quickly.
They've only got 2 hours to work with.
Yeah, so, and I get that. And I think they did an excellent job with it. Like, it was great. It was very fun and enjoyable to watch. I highly recommend going to see it.
Okay. Well, I might be able to make time to go see it. I just don't think I'll convince the wife to go with me.
Well, she didn't read the book?
No.
Did she see The Martian?
She's seen it, but it's not like she went to the theater to see it.
Did she like it?
It was okay. It was there.
I was going to say, she might like this, too. I mean, it's good.
I mean, I know I'm going to enjoy it. Even if I do end up having to wait until it comes out on digital, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely probably one of the better movies I've seen in the past couple of years. So it's worth it.
Okay.
Do you have any questions, Joel?
About Project Hail Mary? Not yet.
Did you read the book, Joel?
No.
Oh, it's a good book. You definitely read it.
Did not.
Did you read The Martian? The Martian was good, too.
Oh, yeah. Love The Martian.
Yeah, I hear, well, it's and like Artemis. I hear Project Hail Mary and all that is being compared to like Interstellar, which, by the way, Interstellar is a great freaking movie.
I enjoyed that one very much too.
Even if you, yeah. They also compared it to Gravity, which is a Sandra Bullock one, which, I don't know how, I mean, they're kind of similar effects-wise, I think. I just didn't enjoy the story as much with the Gravity.
I don't think I saw Gravity.
Meh.
I can't remember what the scene... I mean, Sandra Bullock is in it, and...
George Clooney.
Yeah. And it won... How many Oscars did it win?
And then they fall down, and most of them die.
Yeah, it won 7 Oscars. Which is unusual for, like, a sci-fi movie. But I have seen Gravity, so... This is Dr. Ryan Stone is a medical engineer on her first shuttle mission. Her commander is veteran astronaut Matt Kowalski, helming his last flight before retirement. Then, during a routine spacewalk by the pair, disaster strikes. The shuttle is destroyed, leaving Ryan and Matt stranded in deep space with no link to Earth and hope of rescue. As fear turns to panic, they realize that the only way home may be to venture further into space. Interesting. But I have seen it. I thought it was okay. It's definitely not as good as Interstellar.
Dun dun dun. Oy, oy, oy. Mm-hmm. You ready? Ready for work tomorrow?
So Luke Bolden, the pro-am, Monday.
Oh yeah? How'd that go?
Pretty, he rolled every game, over 200, but it was kind of a fun series though, cause it was a 9-pin, no tap, which basically what that means is if he's knocked down 9 pins in the first ball, it counts as a strike. So. That helps it go faster too a little bit, which they do kind of often because those the pros pretty much bowl all week, and he's gonna go watch them on Sunday. Which this is the crap of it all is they have the stepladder finals, which is the TV portion of the tournament. They have that on Easter Sunday, and I'm like, God. So I'm the only one that's going to be at my family's Easter dinner up here, at least between the three of us. Because it's like the tournament stepladder is at 4:00, and of course, my son's going to be there at 3:00 because he has no concept of time. But anyway, and. Coming down to the wire, I'm almost a week from my next race, feeling pretty strong about that. It's only a 4-miler, so no big deal. I mean, I can easily run 4 miles a day. I don't always, because I usually don't have the time to sometimes, but I'll get some long runs in this week, so. And I got some energy juice to try when I'm doing the long run, too. I've never done any. I wanted to train with some just to see if they're going to react with me, if you know what I mean.
It was arm day today.
Oh, that's tomorrow for me, tomorrow morning.
Biceps, triceps, forearms.
Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, and I'll probably do it Saturday. Yeah. Doing upper body every, like, twice a week now.
Well, I have to take it easy next week because I'm supposed to have a blood test. And if I go too hard, they'll try and tell me that my kidneys are all messed up.
Let me tell you, your creatinine's too high because you take creatine.
Yeah, I had to stop taking creatine too, and you can really tell. So.
I started taking 10 Was it 10 milligrams or whatever the double dose is, 10? Yeah.
But, no, I usually stick to around 10 unless I haven't had a lot of sleep, and then I'll bump it up to like 20 for that day. Because there are some studies that show that creatine can really help on days where you just had garbage for sleep.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, I know it does have some good, because really anything over 5, more in the brain than it does in the rest of the body.
Yeah.
So, because my pre-work, like tomorrow, since I'm taking pre-workout because I'm doing strength training, I'll probably only take one scoop because I'll have in my coffee, because I'll do one scoop in there, and then my Project One Pro has creatine, and it has five milligrams in it.
I always just put it in my oatmeal.
Yeah. Creatine's really flexible like that, because it basically has no taste.
And it's heat stable.
Yep. And I got a different frother on Amazon. One is rechargeable with, I think it's rechargeable on USB-C. And let me tell you, that damn thing is awesome. I had a cheap one that was powered by some AA batteries from,
yeah, it kind of sucks.
Those ones are horrible. This one, not only does, I literally can blend my protein in my coffee like in seconds. In fact, I've got to be careful, because if I let it go too hard, it'll splash all over my counter. So,
or if you're holding it too high up when you turn it on, or...
Yep.
Et cetera,
yeah, it's freaking awesome. I need to get some taller coffee cups.
I got a hand blender.
Yeah.
Which is really good for mixing up the ingredients for the Ninja Creamy. You just have to make sure that it's really in there before you turn it on.
Yeah, I want a Ninja Creamy. Sam's Club has not the bigger one, but the regular one for $169.
Mm.
Not an awful price.
The Ninja Creamy Deluxe?
Yeah.
Not the soft serve one. Soft serve one's dumb. Don't get it.
Yeah, it's not worth the extra $150. Because I don't really care about soft serve ice cream unless I'm going to Dairy Queen.
That ain't ice cream.
That's yogurt.
It's still good. I still eat it.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta go and get that Reese's Blast from Sonic.
I think it comes with, does it come with two containers? Yes, it does. It comes with two containers. That's good.
Oh, I picked up more.
I think I have
8 total. Yeah, 8 total. And I make them 8 at a time, and then when I run out, I make a day and make 8 more.
Yep.
Look, and usually that, 4 flavors, least, so yeah, 2 of each flavor.
I was going to say, at least 2 would be a good idea, because I have 2 flavors of protein powder right now.
And toss in some skinny syrup for flavoring.
I think we also have a recipe where they, like,
If you're going to use, like, almond milk or something.
Yeah.
Make sure you get some sugar-free Jell-O pudding mix.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of our recipes that we have, with the first form protein have that. Some of them even have, like you take the protein bar and chop it up and throw it in as a mix-in.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them that works. Some of them will make horrendous noises when you do that.
Yes.
Also, like you can get the mini Oreos. Those do real well once you break them up a little bit.
Oh, I tried the zero sugar Oreos. Don't waste your time.
Yeah, don't. Just you know, you don't need very many Oreos to make it come out well. I know some people like the thin Oreos or whatever. I just get the mini ones or the Reese's Unwrapped.
Yeah.
You can do that, but you gotta break those up a little bit before you toss them in.
Same thing is the zero sugar Oreos don't have any less calories than the regular ones.
Yeah.
So it's like why bother?
Sugar-free honey. There's right. No point in sugar-free honey. It's the exact same calories. It's just fake damn honey.
How do you have sugar-free honey? Like what?
It's fake honey.
What? That makes absolutely no sense. It's not honey then.
That's what they call it. It's like, you know, having maple syrup that's sugar-free that's not actually maple syrup, but it's extremely low calorie. I think they got sued, and that's why they're now just called pancake syrup instead of maple syrup.
Right. So here you got here's a cookies and cream protein ice cream recipe.
And I got the cookies and cream protein powder.
Yeah, this one has the isolate, the Formula One, which is the isolate one, Fairlife, fat-free milk, sugar-free cheesecake Jell-O, and a cup of ice.
Yeah, and different recipes require different amounts of blending, and sometimes you just don't know until you try it the first time. And then some require, because you need to put a little bit of liquid on the top before you blend it in a lot of cases, but you have to know how much, and it's all guesswork until you get used to a recipe.
Right. One I would want to make is with the red velvet protein, which I just got another tub of that today, actually. Oh, that's my favorite one we make. One of my favorite flavors we make, red velvet. Oh, it's so good.
And then you get the red velvet brownies as a mix-in. Oh.
Ooh, I wonder, does Prime Bites make red velvet? As I got some Prime Bites brownies. Those are good, too, if you haven't tried those.
No, because I think I've had like red velvet protein bars before, but I can't remember when.
I know. I'm surprised we haven't brought carrot cake level one bars out yet. They were okay, just okay last year. They were not. I will say they were not my favorite one. My favorite one of the protein bars that we have are cookies and cream.
Yeah,
cookies and cream and the PB&J.
I think it was Quest that came out with like a Hershey's flavored protein bar. I did not enjoy it.
I can tell you of the Hershey's protein bar things. Stay away from the one bars.
It was one. It was one.
Yeah, it was one. Yeah, they're nasty.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No,
the Hershey bar.
David the one, bars are good.
They're Reese's bar. Ooh,
it's awful.
It's great.
You liked it?
I liked the Reese's bar.
I didn't like it for some reason.
I did not like their Hershey's, but I do like the Reese's.
Ooh. Do we have salt? Oh, yes. Okay, they got salted caramel level one bars in stock, and I'm so tempted. Those are good. And we have, for some reason, we still have pumpkin spice crunch bars in stock. Cookies and cream, s'mores, peanut butter lovers, peanut butter jelly. We don't have that many special ones. We still have peppermint barks too. Those are good too. Not very pepperminty though. But yeah, I bought a handful of David bars this week, and those are pretty damn good. 150 calories for 28 grams of protein in the bar. But yet, you have to be able to take the, what is it, the EPG I think they put in there for the fat replacement? I think it's what they call it, EPG.
I'm not sure.
But, and yeah, kind of weird tidbit about David Bars is they also sell frozen cod. I don't know why. But it's kind of part of the ethos of those. Yeah, EPG is esterified propoxylated glycerol. Mm. Yeah, it's the fat substitute that they put in the bars that keeps the calories down. So it's sounds like a lot like olein, but it's not, you know, or olestramine. Which, Olestra, if you've ever had it, you don't want to have it. It's, no. Nope. It's like what happens when you eat sugar-free Haribo gummy bears. Nothing good.
Give me the farts.
Too much erythritol will make it so that you
can't
shit.
You're not wrong there. Not wrong at all. I accidentally did that once where I ate like a whole bag of was it the Russell Stover sugar-free candy?
Yes. I'm not sure.
Yes, they have.
I don't sugar-free. Know.
Yes, they had sugar-free candy.
Yeah, if you eat way too much of that, which I did one day, oh my god. Not good.
Give it a poops.
At all. Yeah. Stevia doesn't do that with me. Stevia is just great. I like Stevia.
Oh man, did you hear that Apple discontinued the Mac Pro?
Did they?
Yeah.
I heard about their
I heard that yeah, well, they Mac. Haven't updated it since the M2 chip.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mac Neo for $599, I think.
Yeah.
That I am so tempted to get one, even though I don't really need one. Just because I thought it would be kind of cool to have like as a travel machine, you know?
I don't know.
But, I mean, I've heard very, very good things about it. I mean, is it as fast as my MacBook Air? No.
No. Well, how old's your MacBook Air?
But,
how old's your MacBook Air?
Just a year old. It's the M4. A year old. It's got the M4 chip in it.
Okay. Because I saw.
So,
I saw some tests. I can't remember what was I don't know if it was a Mac Air or I forget which one. One of them was a little slower than the Neo, and I don't know if it was the Air or not. I can't remember.
Could it have been the original like M1 MacBooks, maybe?
Maybe, I don't know. I'd have to go back and
watch
it. I don't
know, because it's got the A19 chip in it. Yeah, it's got the iPhone chip in it. So
doesn't it have like 4 gigs of RAM in it, or is it 8? It's not 16. Maybe it is 8.
It's 8. Okay. It's 8. It's 8.
Not enough.
Well, for what we do, no, not enough. Now, I am due either this year or next year for a new work MacBook. So I'll probably get, I'm hoping that by the time, if it's this year, I might be screwed and they might get an M4 one. But if it's next year, then I should definitely get the M5 Pro probably. But
does your, do you still have that,
so you funky, have two choices.
Do you still have that phone? What is that? That keyboard that they replaced the function keys with that strip. What was that called?
The bar.
Oh, the touch bar? No, they haven't had touch bar in a while now. Touch bar.
Yours doesn't have my touch bar, right?
My MacBook Pro does not have that. It's an M1.
I hate the touch
bar. No, my Air doesn't either, so. Yeah, it's long gone. Although, rumor has it, they're supposedly working on a touchscreen Mac now, which I don't really care. But, yeah, I'm really tempted by the, Neo. Cause I thought it'd be kinda cool to take that on my, trip to Denver. Cause then that way, you know, I mean, granted, I don't think my Air would be too problematic. Cause I definitely, you know, I'm a big believer in, I never do anything with my work machine outside of work, if you know what I mean. So, like, I very rarely, not, I won't even necessarily just browse on it, you know, for personal things. So.
I won't either on mine. I mean, it's for work.
Exactly, exactly.
Anything I do on there doesn't belong to me, so.
The only thing that I wish they would have gave us, like, our own, Apple Store account. That's a work-based account that I could use on my iPhone and my work phone, or iPhone and work MacBook, because they make you use your own Apple account, which means I have to play some games to make sure that I let, like, my personal iPad doesn't get notifications from my iPhone, because I don't really want that, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So. But anywho, and probably
that's how you get caught having a side chick.
Yeah, and the other thing that's annoying too. With
Joel
Apple,
just went right past that. Yeah. Like, I don't want to talk about my side chick today.
You don't want to talk about your side chick, Joel?
I don't have a side chick anyway.
Oh, you just got two mains.
No,
your side dude.
Like, for example, say I have my work, my MacBook Air in my lap doing something personal real quick. And if I mouse up off the screen, it'll go onto my work MacBook because of the integration that Apple does on those things. Or the same thing goes, like, if I'm working on watching, say I'm watching something on my iPad and I move my mouse to the left, then the mouse cursor from my work laptop goes over onto the iPad. You can turn some of that off, and I've done that with, like, the AirPods, because I do have AirPods, because they're just damn convenient. But it's a pain in the butt, because Apple ties it, like, say I was watching something on my iPad and then I played something on my MacBook that has, make sound. Then it would switch the earbuds from my iPad to my MacBook. And I'm like, don't do that. I don't want that. But I guess for some people, they like that stuff. I don't really care for that. But. But I might have to try some other Linux distros. It's been a while since I've been doing any distro hopping at all. So I did, I've tried Cache, and I've tried, what's the other one? Omarchi. But I can't believe this, like, in DistroWatch, the Ubuntu is only number 10 now. And your top five are Cache OS, Mint, MX Linux and Pop OS and Debian.
How many of those are Arch based? Was that three of them or two?
Let's see. Cassie's Arch. That's the only Arch based one.
Oh.
Yeah. Cassie OS is the only one that's Arch based.
The rest are Ubuntu or Debian based, and right. Ubuntu is Debian based. So,
correct.
Debian.
And Fedora is number 9. Manjaro is 8. Then there's Bazite. Bazite's the gaming one, and Anduin OS, which I'd never heard of before, but looks kind of interesting. It's based on Ubuntu. And it uses an O.
Sounds like you should just use Ubuntu.
Yeah, no kidding. Endeavor OS is another Arch-based Linux distro.
What's that spiel?
And desktop options on Endeavor are Endeavor has...
Endeavor. I thought you said Debra OS.
You can choose from Budgie, Cinnamon, GNOME, i3... No, Endeavor. Yeah.
Okay.
Endeavor, like the space shuttle.
Right. I thought you said
Debra. You can choose from Budgie, Cinnamon, GNOME, i3. No. So desktops are Budgie, Cinnamon, GNOME, i3, KDE, Plasma, LXQT, Mate, or XFCE.
Well, you gotta choose, Joel.
Oh, XFCE. That's the other thing too. With that, if on Endeavor, I would probably go with I'd probably go with KDE, probably. I do like Cassie gives you. He gives you choices too. The default is KDE Plasma, They have, you can choose from BSPWM, which I never heard of, Budgie, Cinnamon, Cosmic, which is what I went with this time, GNOME, Hyperland, i3, KDE, Plasma, LXDE, LXQT, Mate, and Neri. Oh, and OpenBox, Qtile, Sway, Yukai, Wayfire, or XFCE. What I did find with Cassie is that I had a rough time if you chose multiple desktops and one of them was Plasma, then it always gave you Plasma. And it didn't the launcher it uses did not give me a way to choose which desktop that I wanted to use. So I just installed one. I just installed Cosmic and that worked pretty good, pretty well. I tried to like Hyperland, but it's just not for me. Hyperland is a really nice looking tiling Linux desktop, and I tried it. I just couldn't get into it. Very keyboard centric, and I can see how if you're a developer, how that might be very useful. But I'm not a developer, so. And even if I was, I would probably want to have Windows and stuff to do it, like, you know, terminal screens and stuff like that. Excuse me. Elive is another Linux distro I never heard of. And that basically is Debian running the Enlightenment desktop. I always liked Enlightenment.
I do too. I haven't run it in a while. I remember using Enlightenment on like Red Hat.
That's what? Still
DR4?
Yeah.
Back in the day. Oh.
Enlightenment's still what? Isn't that still... I think a DR17, if I remember right.
I thought they were like
Oh, it's at version 2.27.
Well, I was going to say 19. I remember 19 coming out.
Sweet. Yeah, version point. Yeah, I'm on enlightenment.org, and it has enlightenment version is 0.27.1. Terminology is at 1.14. That's the terminal app. Rage is at 0.4. Econ Man is 1.1. ePhoto is 1.6.1. ECR. I don't know. What is that? I don't know. I click on it and it wants to download Tarball. I don't care that much to download to figure out what it was. I almost like the older version of Enlightenment better, like the original one that was originally on Red Hat back in the day.
The one that kind of like, was that the one when it opened up? It like kind of opened up from the middle and like.
I think.
And it, oh God, what is that called?
It, well, the one of the widgets had a fiery, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the widgets on it, like, was this, like, for the CPU, could be, like, a bunch of flames.
I think so, yeah. I remember that. The good old days. What you had where GNOME didn't have its own, like, window manager.
Like a blue steel one.
Yeah, well, GNOME didn't have its own window manager, so you had to use, like, Enlightenment or Sawfish or...
Well, you used Enlightenment for a while, yeah.
Well, I mean, you could switch it out. You could do Sawfish, Enlightenment... Or any other, I think, any other window maker.
Yep.
Or maybe not window maker. I don't know if you can use that. Well, I had no.
Still, is it still by Rasterman? Let me see. Yeah, it's still Carson Rasterman Heitzler.
It's time to wrap this up so you can get some sleep, Joel, and get up and work out.
It is, man.
With me. All right, I'm gonna play us out.
I gotta finish steps yet.
Get that marching going.
8,100 steps, and I've got a couple more to go.
All right, here we go. This is it. We'll see you in a week. Happy April Fool's Day.
I am sure.
Oh my God!
That's Hacker Easter Public too. Radio.
Oh yeah.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Oh, you were making Aunt Poo Young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room. Sushi.
That's right, it is Alan's birthday, isn't it? Coming up, if not today.
It's Alan's birthday.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, man.
Did it launch? I'm trying to launch Portal 2 and see what happens. Oh, there it goes.
Is it working?
Yeah. Kind of. I think it's sitting at the launch screen right now with GLaDOS and in fact, it's letting me continue my game, too.
Nice.
That's cool. Playing Portal 2 on Linux, that's amazing. And I still got Mumble in the background.
Multitasking.
I will say it doesn't run well. Wait, that's probably because I'm using the wrong keys. It's okay, you can play it. Yeah, you can play it. It's playable.
There you go.
Probably want to have a mouse instead. Because trackpads suck. Nice. I'll have to play around with that a little bit more. I bet you really run well on my Surface Pro. Which I already have Linux on my Surface Pro. Got Ubuntu on it now. I've been debating.
Was that difficult to get it on the Pro?
Not really. I mean, I will say it's difficult getting everything working. Like the webcam doesn't work.
Okay.
Yeah, the webcam doesn't work and the pen doesn't work either. But it did. It wasn't hard to set up at all. How they react to me? Because I don't want to take them for the first time at the half marathon and get to the end of it to shit my pants.
Energy chews?
Yeah.
That seemed like the energy dips.
Yeah, you're talking the gels? Yeah.
No, they're like little sacks that you put in your mouth like chocolate.
Yeah, they call those gels.
Okay, yeah, those.
But they have those gels. Those are good. Yeah, they have gels and they have chews. I'm gonna try chews first. I got some from Honey Stinger that are cherry cola flavor and also have caffeine in them. And then I got some orange, goo chews.
Oh, make your own peanut butter balls with frickin' caffeine in them.
Actually, they just sent me a recipe this week, a first form for healthier recently healthier peanut butter eggs that you can make at home.
Oh, Reese's style.
Yes.
I think I'm going to work on a recipe for peanut butter balls that uses powdered peanut butter. But I think I'm going to have to do it with probably maple syrup. And I don't know if I'm going to have to... If I get the ratios right, I shouldn't have to cook it down, but it might be difficult.
Oh, where the heck? Oh, maybe that was a text message. Let me see. Usually I can Google on first form, healthier peanut butter eggs. And the recipe didn't use, yeah, there we go, healthier chocolate peanut butter eggs. The recipe didn't use any of their peanut butter protein at all either.
So probably what? Oatmeal, sugar free maple syrup, peanut butter powder, and some mini semi sweet chocolate. Just have to find the right ratios.
Here's the recipe they must have sent out, because it does, and I still have some of this salted peanut butter protein.
And a little bit of salt.
So it has 2 scoops of level 1 peanut butter salted peanut butter protein, 1 tablespoon of peanut butter, 2 tablespoons of coconut flour, unsweetened vanilla almond milk, and 100, it says 100 Lily's dark chocolate baking chips and 1 tablespoon or half a tablespoon of...
Yeah, dark Lily's is really low calorie, but it's a little bit higher cost.
They are. I know they are. I think I have some because they didn't make the whole... Like a lot of times the recipes that they'll give out that use Lily's will like say use half a cup or like a quarter a cup. And there's way more than that in a bag. So I do have a handful of those. Now for Easter dinner, at least for my And I'm going to be the only one from the family there at my sister-in-law's. Luke's going to be, he's bowling, or not bowling, watching them bowl. So I tried Gemini. I said, give me a unique cheesecake recipe for Easter dinner. Excuse me. And it came up with lemon blueberry speckled egg cheesecake.
That sounds disturbing.
So you basically, you make a blueberry reduction, alright? And then you mix that with part of, it's a pretty kind of normal cheesecake batter. So you take some of that out, and then you mix the blueberry stuff in it. And then you blop some of that on top of the regular cheesecake layer and swirl it a little bit. And then on top of that, you take it's like a mixture of cocoa powder and vanilla extract, and you dip like a brush in it and speckle it. Speckle the egg. You know, so it looks like it kind of like a robin egg almost. Mm-hmm. So, and it's got lemon juice in it too, but let's see what. Oh.
You ready to start the show?
I am.
Yeah. This is 1,132. Well, let's get rolling.